Picture a downtown department store in late November, fluorescent lights softened by a veil of cigarette smoke and perfume. A mother counts coins on the edge of a worn marble counter, tucks a small receipt into a worn layaway booklet, and the clerk stamps a date like a quiet promise. You can almost hear the hush, a kind of careful hope, the weight of a purchase that will only belong to her after weeks of small, steady payments. Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring how families bought big things before the plastic swipe made ownership instant. From layaway books at the department store to rent-to-own showrooms that promised furniture for a week and a plan to make it yours forever, these were systems built on patience, ritual, and often pride.
Section 1. Origins and mechanics. The idea of buying in pieces is older than you might think. Long before debit cards or buy now, pay later apps, shopkeepers offered ways to reserve goods with small deposits, to hold an item while family saved, or to accept weekly payments until a piece of furniture, an appliance, or a prized phonograph belonged outright. These were not anonymous transactions. They were agreements scribbled in a ledger or stamped in a booklet, and often overseen by a familiar face, the local clerk or store owner who knew the family by name.
Mechanically, layaway was simple. You paid a deposit, the store took the item off the floor, and you returned with scheduled payments until the balance was cleared. Policies varied. Some stores held goods for a set number of weeks. Others charged modest fees for cancellations. But the rhythm was the same. Payments fit into household calendars. A dollar on payday, a few coins after supper, a steady march toward ownership. There was paperwork, to be sure, but also an intimacy. A clerk who slid the layaway book across the counter and offered a nod, a little human punctuation to the act of saving.
Later, another model took shape, rent to own. That arrangement looked different at first glance. Instead of holding new stock in a department store, specialized showrooms and independent shops rented furniture and appliances for a weekly rate, with the option to own after a contract term. For families who needed something immediately but couldn't muster a full down payment, it was a bridge. You could take a sofa home the day you signed, and the payments arrived like a cadence in the budget. The cost of ownership over time was often higher, but that immediate access had its own kind of dignity for households starting out or recovering from unexpected expenses.
Those systems carried social rules. You didn't casually cancel a layaway the way you might abandon an online cart today. A broken payment could ripple through reputation and relationships in a small town. Commitments were observed out of necessity and mutual respect. Neighbors watched each other's kids. Clerks remembered which family was saving for a washing machine. Church bake sale proceeds sometimes padded someone's account. Ownership was not only financial. It was a social promise fulfilled.
Section 2. Everyday Stories. I want to share a few small scenes. First, a holiday layaway miracle. A father in the 1950s who worked two jobs and tucked coins into a layaway book all year so that on Christmas Eve, the department store clerk would hand over a boxed toy train that had been waiting under his account. The moment the young boy tore the paper, the room seemed larger, not because the gift was expensive, but because it belonged to the family by a slow, intentional process.
Or a young couple moving into their first apartment in the 1970s, walking into a rent-to-own parlor and choosing a couch they could start living with that very afternoon. They left with a delivery slip and a plan, weekly payments that fit into the rhythm of their new life. It wasn't ideal credit. The cumulative cost might be higher, but with every payment, they felt a small installation of stability in their home.
And there were households who repaired first. A washer with a stubborn drum mended by a neighbor, or a radio coaxed back to life with solder and patience. Saving with layaway sometimes meant delaying replacement longer, but it also meant that families learned to prioritize, to weigh needs, and to find resourcefulness in making do until the right purchase could be paid for in pieces.
Section 3. Vintage ad break and cultural color. Imagine an old radio spot, all friendly assurances and jingles. Why wait? Take home your new living room today. Easy weekly payments, satisfaction guaranteed. The language sold not just goods, but confidence. A promise that deferred ownership was practical and respectable. Advertisers leaned into images of wholesome families, bright lawns, and the idea that a little planning and regular payments would get you there. That rhetoric shaped expectations. Buying was a rite of passage as much as a transaction.
When we compare those systems to today's instant credit options, the differences are stark. Modern buy now, pay later tools remove friction and speed ownership, but they also remove the small rituals that once scaffolded saving, the ledger, the clerk's nod, the deliberate calendar of payments. That friction taught discipline and created room for conversations at kitchen tables about priorities, though it also sometimes meant longer waits and harder trade-offs.
Reflection. I think what people miss isn't just the objects of the past, but the rituals around them, the slow accumulation of something that mattered. Layaway and rent-to-own were imperfect, for sure. They could be costly or exclusionary, but they also taught households to plan, to prioritize, and to attach intention to buying. Those are lessons that still matter when modern convenience tempts us to confuse wanting with owning.
If there's one modest takeaway, it's this. The path to ownership shapes what ownership means. When possessions arrive after a patient sequence of small commitments, they often carry a different value than things that appear with a single tap. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. Let's find it.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes, hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Before you go, if this episode warmed a memory or prompted a thought, please subscribe to Financial Time Machine. It helps other people find these quieter stories. Dadgum, till next time, keep one foot in the past.
Good night, and thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.